What a great call out to the church for the bride of Christ to come awake and to be the church in a world that needs to hear the message of Jesus Christ. He is risen from the dead. And what a great, great word and a great challenge for this year. So have you been involved in the 40 days of prayer? How are we doing with that? Are you enjoying it? We're kind of now in the home stretch of it. I hope that as you've been involved in it and engaged in it, that the devotionals, the prayer focuses have really touched you and encouraged you, maybe helped you along as we come into this week. We go into the next section, as you see there, evangelism. And one of the things that I saw as I was looking at that was, who is someone in your life that you're praying for? You know, the greatest way to reach someone with the gospel of Jesus Christ is to start by praying for them. So a great challenge for this week. If you do not have somebody that you are already praying for, I would encourage that we each find that person and regularly pray for them. If you have not already joined in on the 40 days of prayer, you see the website there. You can go to that. You can sign up and get the daily devotionals and the prayer focuses for the remainder of our 40 days of prayer that we have. But what a blessing it is to be a part of that. Also want to quickly remind us that following the service this morning, about 11:45, we will be having our annual meeting. If you are a member, we would love for you to be able to stay and be a part of that. If you are a non-member, you are welcome to stay and to see what happens. See what goes on for our annual meetings. But our desire is to be able to accomplish business in a timely, good fashion. And with that being said, hopefully you've been able to either download or you've picked up a packet and read that through, all the reports, the different things, the budget that is on there that we will be voting on in a little while. If you have not, you can go onto the church website quickly and you can download and read that. Just not right now. Or at the end of the service, you can there's some packets still in the back that you can grab and look through that as well. So we will be going starting at 11:45, our annual meeting this morning. As we start, would you just join with me in prayer? Father, as we come to this time of opening your word together, we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would rest upon our time. We pray that you would open our eyes to see more of you and that it would cause us to desire to go deeper into you and to want to show the love of Christ more to others that we come into contact with. We praise you for the freedom of being in your word like this, and we just ask that you would open our eyes and ears to hear from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning is going to be a little bit different, not a lot different. I'm still going to share from God's Word, but one of the things that I'm hoping to do over the next few moments is to give you the heart and the vision for 2021 as a church. What is it that we want to accomplish? What do we want to see God do among us? And as you already know, that our theme for this year is immovable. We've been talking about it last few weeks, and if you remember, we've talked about Daniel, immovable prayer, immovable integrity, and immovable humility, and we're going to continue on with these character studies. But for today, I want to just take these moments and focus on immovable, being immovable for the kingdom of God, and what does it mean to be immovable? And we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we're going to be starting reading at verse 51, so you could turn there in your Bibles. And as you are, I want you to kind of notice the picture that we have up on the screen, and there's intentionality with this picture. I really like this picture because it points to what we are looking at and what we want to become in 2021. As you notice, there's a buoy on the top of the water. And if you've ever been out in a boat or you're out on the lake or out at sea, one of the things that as you're going out of the harbor or the marina, one of the things that you'll often see are buoys in the water. And those things, they kind of bob around. They're there to help guide you. But one of the interesting things about those buoys is they don't just float freely wherever they want to. As a matter of fact, those buoys are tied down to an anchor that sits at the bottom. And that anchor doesn't move. So even though on top of the water, that buoy is moving around a little bit, it will never go too far because it is always attached solidly to the anchor. It's immovable in that regard. And so this is a great picture as we head into 2021, that while we, as the buoys, we can move a little bit, but when we're tethered to the rock, to the anchor of Christ, we're not going to be able to go very far. We can be immovable for the kingdom of God. And what we want to do is look at 1 Corinthians 15 and starting at verse 51, and we are going to see some principles on how we can be immovable, and the picture of that rope that is there that is coming down are those principles that connect us to the anchor. If you look at a rope, most ropes are not just one piece of string. It's multiple pieces of string woven together to form a rope, and it makes it solid. And if we are to be immovable in Christ, there are some of those principles. And that's what Paul gives to us in 1 Corinthians. And we're going to look at that and see how that then will go forward into our focus for 2021. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting at verse 51. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with the immortal, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So as we look at this, we want to focus most of our attention really on verse 58, because in verse 58 you see the word therefore. Therefore says because of what has happened before, and really it's that picture of because Christ has risen from the dead and because Christ has promised that we too will one day be raised imperishable, immortal, we will be like Him, that therefore those things should impact how we live today. And this is the idea, and immovable. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. As we look at that verse, we can see four principles, four things that we can take that would help us to be immovable for the kingdom of God. The first one, the first string of the rope that we see that is there is where Paul says, stand firm. Some translations may even say, be steadfast. And maybe you have that translation. As you read those, that gives us the picture of being seated. So like right now, you're seated. You're not moving very much. Some maybe a little more than others, but you're seated. You're settled. You're firmly situated. Okay, so you kind of get that picture. In other words, it's being in a place where we are confident with what we believe we say we are. Do you believe what you say you are? And that's what it means to stand firm. And not only that, but to understand what it is that we say. In Ephesians chapter 6, which is a great verse about this, we see in Ephesians 6 that Paul is talking about a spiritual battle. You know, our battle is not against flesh and blood, he says. And he goes down this wonderful passage. But in verses 14 and 15, he brings in the spiritual armor. And what's interesting is in verses 14 and 15, where he brings in what are the to stand firm. And he says these words, "Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace." Now it's interesting because you notice in those verses that two of the items that help us to stand firm are God's word. And even the third one, the breastplate of righteousness, how do we know where righteousness is found? In Christ alone, through his word. We understand the gospel of truth. And so this does not say that we are to stand firm on opinion. We live in a time where opinion is truth, don't we? You know, we've even come to a place where we say, you know what? You can believe what you want to believe as truth. I will believe what I want to believe as truth. And even if they are different, basically all it is they're just two different truths. And what we've done is we've become to say opinion trumps truth. But when we were to stand firm, we find this ability in Christ's word. And we see it in Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 11, where Paul says, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." Now listen to this. "Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming." You see, it's when we are grounded firmly in God's word, in God's truth, that we can stand firm. What will we stand firm against? Well, the teachings, the opinions, the beliefs that are so prevalent in our world today. If we are to be immovable in this ever-changing world, it has to start in the place of being attached to the anchor of God's word. Which kind of brings me to the first focus that we have for 2021. What are we going to desire as the body to focus on? Well, this is what we're looking to do, is we want this year to increase our scriptural involvement. In other words, what we want is to be able to be more in God's word together. Here's a truth that we can take. If we are not regularly in God's word, whether it is alone or together, we will fall victim to whatever teachings that come along. And we see this every day. We see where there's conversations. I mean, maybe you've had some of those conversations where you start to hear a teaching that sounds good. And it's, oh, that sounds really good. I think that will work well. I remember several years ago when Lynn and I were working with the youth and I would teach, one of the things that I would do from time to time is as I was teaching, I would start to bring into the teaching some less than stellar truth. As a matter of fact, I would start teaching maybe false stuff intentionally. And at first it was hard because I wanted to correct it. And I would sit there and I was are you listening to what I'm saying? And they would listen, they would hear, and at first they're like, okay, yeah. And then finally I would have to stop. And I would have to say, guys, did that sound right? And someone would be like, oh yeah, that was great. And others are like, you know, I don't know why, but it doesn't sound right. Which led us to go to the place where with the youth what we would say, and I say this often and I'd say it again and again, is don't ever take my word for anything about God's word. Take God's word as the only truth. My desire is that I want to give you truth, but the only thing that we can truly trust in is God's word, and I would pound that into them to say, you guys need to be in God's word. Only then will you be able to understand when there is false teaching. And so we would do that, and what became a blessing for us is I would still do it from time to time. I would start bringing in something that would kind of go off to the side like this, and instead of seeing this, all right, I would start to see the look, and then one by one, the hand would go up. You know, but doesn't the Bible say this? And I can tell you as a pastor, there is nothing that blesses a pastor's heart when someone can correctly use the Word of God to correct false teaching. Don't take my word for it. If we are to be immovable for the kingdom of God, we must be focused intentionally on God's word. What are some ways that we can do this? Well, I want to share with you a couple of things. First, can I ask you to do this? On Sundays, will you commit to bringing your Bibles to church? You know, it's funny because you might look at that and go, well, it's church. You know, it's amazing when we look around and we see how few are bringing Bibles to church in this day and age. Now, it might be on your phone, it might be on your device, and that's great. But let me encourage you with this. Whatever you're bringing, come with the desire that we're going to dig deep. You want to dig deeper into it. You're going to look. You're going to write into it. You're going to, you know, it's okay to write in your Bible, right? Yeah, it's okay to do that. Highlight, circle. When God says something to you, write it in your Bible. Put a date on it. You know what? If I say something and you're going, you know what? That I need to look more. Write that down. Go home. Study deeper. Bring your Bible to church. The second I would encourage is this. Will you commit to making the book, God's book, a part of your daily routine? I'm not going to tell you how much you have to read or this or that. I'm just going to say, will you make it a part of your daily routine? Will you pick up God's word and be in it? Because as you do that, you will be immovable. You heard Heather say that just a few moments ago. When we were in God's word, it began to change us. One of the things that we want to do this year as we do this focus, and you'll hear it in time as it rolls out, is we want to do a church-wide Bible reading initiative. What this will look like is that we will all be reading the same passage in Scripture, and we will have opportunity to encourage one another. Be watching for that in time when that comes out. But that's the idea, is we want to become more intentional and focus on God's word, the truth of God's word, because when we do, we will become immovable. That's strand one of the rope connecting us to the anchor. The second thing that Paul says in that is he says, let nothing move you. Let nothing move you. Now you look at that and you go, well, isn't that the same as standing firm? It sounds similar, but one of the things that you see in this one, the Greek that Paul uses here, and I'm going to slaughter it, but I'm going to say it anyways, and you'll probably forget it. But the word is ametekinetos. Now you've got that, right? I'm not going to repeat it because it really doesn't matter. But it's a long word that basically gives this. It's similar to steadfastness, but it brings in a more intense nature. It is immobility or motionless. If you remember, standing firm or steadfastness is like seated, settled, right? This takes it to the place where it is not even able to move. You are immobile, motionless. Standing firm, like sitting down, is knowing what you believe. Where let nothing move you is being immovable in your faith. It is the power to live what you believe. You see the difference there? Standing firm, steadfastness, knowing what you believe, let nothing move you is the power to live what you believe. Again, the picture of the buoy on the line that we have, the buoy, it moves a little bit, doesn't it? I mean, as you see what is there, you can see as the water's doing this, the buoy might be doing this a little bit, but the one thing that we do know is that it is not going to move beyond a certain line because that rope is going to hold it in place and the anchor is going to keep firm in the ground. When we are immovable for God, it means we're unable to be swayed back and forth and to be inconsistent. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. We hold unswervingly to the hope that we have. Again, we've already talked about the God's word, and we hope into that, but living what we say we believe is a different thing. We can say we want to do what's right. We can say we know what's right, but then there's the part of taking it from here and applying it to here and then living it out there, right? And sometimes that's difficult. And as a matter of fact, to be quite honest with you, we cannot do that. We can know what's right, but we cannot live what is right on our own. We will always fall. We will always sin. We will always wander. This is in our nature. Proverbs 4:26 says, give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. How do we do this? How do we give careful thought? I mean, look at Daniel for a minute, okay? We've talked about Daniel over the last few weeks, and we see in the stories of Daniel that Daniel knew what was right. And actually, in one of those stories, that he resolved not to defile himself. Remember that one about the food? He says, I know what's right. Now, here's what's interesting. Daniel knew what was right and did what was right. The others that were with Daniel, they also knew what was right, but they didn't necessarily do what was right. Why was it that Daniel knew what was right and could do what was right, and the others knew what was right but couldn't do what was right? It really was a simple scenario. Daniel's connection to God was what gave him the power to be able to stand up and do what was right. One of the things that we know, and we talked about this, was in the immovable prayer message that I shared a few weeks ago, that Daniel prayed about everything. When times got hard, what did Daniel do? He prayed. When Daniel needed something to understand, when a dream was there, what did he do? He prayed. When things were well and going good for Daniel, what did Daniel do? Daniel prayed. As a matter of fact, one of the things that we see in Daniel is that Daniel had a practice of three times a day going into his upper room, opening the windows toward Jerusalem and praying. So when things were just the normal every day, this is what Daniel did. Daniel prayed. The power for Daniel to be able to stand firm, to be steadfast, and to be immovable for the kingdom of God was due to his connection to the anchor in prayer. Which leads me to the second focus that we want for this year. This year it is our intention that we want to increase prayer involvement. We want prayer to become a norm in Plymouth Lions Church. You realize God calls the church, this is a house of prayer. We want it to become that. As a matter of fact, right now we're going through the 40 days of prayer, and understand that at the end of 40 days, when this 40 days of prayer is up, our intention is not to say, okay, great job, you prayed for 40 days, you're good for the rest of the year. We don't want to do that. As a matter of fact, the 40 days of prayer is a launching pad into what we hope to be a year-long prayer for anything and everything. We want prayer to be the central focus. We want to be the house of prayer. We want to be known as the place of prayer. How does this look like? Well, what's encouraging is some of this is already happening. One of the things I would encourage you in is this, is if you were around before the service for a few moments, you probably saw one of the slides that said that on Sunday nights from 6 to 7, our ladies are meeting together for a time of prayer. There's been a handful of ladies that God laid it on their heart to start praying together. And what they're saying is this: if you're a lady, a woman, a girl, and you can pray, you can come. This is open to all ladies, teens, young ladies. But it's this opportunity to pray. On Tuesday nights, our elders meet together, and we will continue to do so by Zoom meeting for prayer, praying for the church body, praying for needs within the church body, praying for what God would have us do in the days ahead. And as we look into the year, we are looking to establish other opportunities for prayer within the body. What we want to do is we want to take prayer from being this position up here to being all of us, that prayer becomes who we are. When we do that, we will become immovable for the kingdom of God. But Paul brings us an interesting next string of the rope. And it's one that I looked at, and at first it's kind of, you go, well, that's kind of a change. I get the Bible reading for immovable. I get prayer for immovable. But then he says these words. He says, give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. Wow. How does being busy make me immovable? As a matter of fact, the busier I am, the less or more movable I feel, right? Don't we get kind of stressed? Well, actually, that's true, but it's when we're busy in the wrong things. One of the things that I have found is this, that the more that I become involved in kingdom work, the more immovable that I become for the kingdom of God. The more I'm actively involved in what God is doing, the more that God works in me and makes me immovable for that purpose. You know, it's easy for us to say, you know, Christians should be going to church. It's easy for us to say that we should be reading God's word and we should be praying. That all makes sense. But here Paul adds a very important string. Be actively involved. You know, it's interesting because, again, as you look at the text of the morning where Paul starts in verse 51, he says, look, because of all of these things, verse 58, therefore, because of all of these things that I just shared with you before, what this does is this should cause us to be in a place where we desire to do the Lord's work. Understand this. You are not forced to do God's work. No one should ever be forced, or the words "you have to" should ever be used when it talks about doing kingdom work. Because this is the reality, and this is what Paul says. If my hope is in Christ, and I truly believe that Christ has risen from the dead, he has defeated sin and death, death has no sting, death has no victory, all of that is true, then what this should do is this should cause me to desire to burn myself out for the kingdom of God. There's no have to in that. As a matter of fact, in Hebrews 10:24, it says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Now let me share something with this, because I've seen this verse taken out of its context or used improperly, where it basically some have said it, well, what that means is I can tell you what you should do. I'm going to spur you on. You know what? I think you should do this love and good deed. You know, understand, that's not what Paul is saying. What Paul is saying is how we spur one another on, but for love and good deeds, is by setting the example of what that should look like, by actually being that myself and doing it, actively involved. That's what Paul even says to Timothy. Set an example for others to see in life, godliness, purity, integrity in all of these areas. In Galatians 6:9, it says to us, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Now that's exciting, because you look at this and understand that as we labor for the Lord, we will reap a harvest. You know, it's funny, because one of the things that we like to do is we want to say, you know, God, just bless us. We want to see things happen. We want to see God move. We want to do this. But you know what, God, just don't make me do it. But when we are actively involved in the kingdom, a harvest works. God works in this. Which leads me to the third focus quickly. We want to be intentional of building kingdom laborers. We want to be intentional of building leaders for the kingdom of God. We want to see women and men, young women and children who are stepping up to take on the work of the kingdom. Now that's going to look different for every single person. It doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be in the church. It may be out in the community. It may be out in the world. It may be overseas. Whatever it is, what we want to do is we want to take Matthew 28, where Jesus said, here it is, go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. Who will make disciples? Who will make disciples? What this is not going to look like is this is not going to be a program. We're not going to have a, hey, you know what, here's what it is. Sign up and do this, sign up and do that. What our plan is and our hope is, our focus is this, is that we are going to intentionally come alongside individuals for the purpose of raising them up in the ministry of Christ. So let me pose this to you. This year, will you engage in Christ's labor? Will you engage in being a part of the kingdom advancement and live for him? Be prepared and be involved. Which leads me to the last string that Paul brings in. Be purposeful in life. Paul puts it this way. He says, you know, understand that your labor is not in vain. You know, it would be a horrible thing to know if you spent your whole life doing ministry, doing church, doing whatever it is that you're doing, and then come to the end and it's for nothing. That would be frustrating, wouldn't it? Well, we know that that's not the case. Paul says, we know that our labor for the kingdom is not in vain. You know, it's funny, because we spend our whole life pursuit for the gaining of financial stability to be able to retire, right? Anybody here want to retire someday? You know, my understanding is you work all your life to get money so that you can retire and do nothing. Anybody who's retired is going, you've got that all wrong. My understanding is you retire and you become more active, you become busier and everything. But no, the reality though is this, we spend our time chasing after things that are temporary. We understand that when we leave this earth, nothing goes with us. The only thing that goes with us is what we have done for the kingdom of God. Paul doesn't say, you know what, if you've got a good job, work at that job to gain everything that you can, and because it won't be in vain. No, what he's saying is our labor for the kingdom of God will not be in vain. Because when we work for the kingdom, he seems to work for us. When I was in college and I was doing sports, one of the things that would happen was there was times where we would play teams that were way out of our league. We had no right playing. And I could name, well, there were seasons where that was every team we played, but there were times where we knew going into that week that there was no way on earth that we were going to win. We knew that we were going to get slaughtered. And what was interesting is how that impacted our practices during the course of that week. You know what happened in practice? We didn't care. As a matter of fact, the drills, we did them sloppily, we did them lazily, we didn't go as hard as we thought we should have, we didn't take what the coach was saying as seriously, we were joking. We had lost the game before we had even stepped onto the field because we lost our purpose. You see, we weren't going there to win. We were going there to not lose really bad. But we lost purpose. In Hebrews 10:25, he says, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day approaching. I want you to do something. I want you to take your Bibles, if you have it there. I want you to turn to Hebrews 10:25. I want you to take a pen. And I want you to circle this word, habit. Habit. You know what a habit is? A habit is something that you have done so much that it has become something you do without purpose. There's no intentionality behind it. You just do it. You know, and so all of a sudden you make a habit. And hear what the author is saying in Hebrews, that there are those who have made a habit of not gathering together as the body of believers. Now, I'm going to tread on this one very lightly because of the scenario that we find ourselves in as a nation, as a church, and as people. We understand that this last year, yes, we had the COVID virus hit us, hit everybody, and one of the things that it did is it hits those who are of high risk. Now, I want to make this very clear. Those who are of high risk, it was a blessing that you can be at home. And I said that in the first service. We're not live streaming it right now. But one of the things that's very clear is for those that should be home due to high risk, should be home due to high risk. This is not a message for them. This is a message for those of us that I have come across, that I've heard. This is becoming popular around our culture today, are those who are no longer attending the church together because it's easier to attend church at home. We have found that we have begun a culture within the church that is called the couch culture. Sunday morning pajama crew. And what it is it's simply this. It is a whole lot easier for me to wake up, walk down to my computer, turn it on, and watch the service, and I'm done within an hour, and I can drink my coffee, my kids can be playing, I don't have to, you know what, it's not that hour of getting ready and the hour of the... It's just the hour that I'm there and I'm good and I've done church. But what we've done is we've become a people of a habit of not being, and understand it's not this. It is not that you have to be in church. It is that we have to be the church. And we need to be together. one of the things that he says there, notice that Paul doesn't say not giving up meeting together, some of the habit are doing, because you have to take offering, you have to sing the songs, you have to do your children's church. And that's not what he's saying. He says this is the reason why we're together, to encourage one another. Many have lost the purpose because they've lost living with the family. And you know what happens as a result? It's interesting the shift that happens when our habit goes from being with the family of God to being in my own place. All of a sudden, things shift. Our thinking goes from being purposeful for the kingdom to being critical of the family. My needs are not being met. Someone should be meeting my needs. We move from it's about God to it's about me, as some are in the habit of doing. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you." This is Jesus. You know, he's saying, you know, here's the purpose. The purpose is this: always focus on the kingdom, and I'll take care of the rest of it. When we are faithful to the kingdom labor, God is faithful to taking care of his people. I always love reading and being reminded in Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Paul says, "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your heart." Now listen to this. "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." In everything we do, do it all for the Lord. Here's the last focus. This year, we want to be intentional in everything that we do. We want to be intentional about the gospel message of Jesus Christ. You know, one of the things that 2020 has actually afforded us as a church, which sounds interesting, one of the things that we've seen is many things canceled, right? A lot of things. We had plans. We had calendar things. We had events that were planned. And most of them were canceled due to constraints. But one of the things that has afforded us to do is to be able to look at every one of these things and go, what is the purpose? What is the intention? And so one of the things that we want to do is, as we are looking to do things this year, they are going to be evaluated before we do them. And the question that is going to be asked is this: why are we doing this? What is the purpose of this? Where is the gospel focus in this? And I can tell you this, that if there is not an intentionality for the kingdom of heaven within it, then it's not something that we are going to do. We want to be intentionally focused on kingdom work this year, because as we do that and we have purpose, we become immovable for kingdom work. So, as we enter into this year, my prayer is that as a body, we become immovable shakers for the kingdom, that we would change lives for the name of Jesus Christ. And my encouragement is this: would you join with us in this? Will you be immovable in prayer? Will you stand firm? Will you hold unswervingly? Will you labor for the Lord this year with purpose and intention? Because I know when we do that, we will see great things happen. Amen? Amen. Let's pray.